Blog Talk Radio.
Besides, relationships
are
just people that are just waiting for something better to come along.
Ah, spoken like a cynic.
I'm not a cynic. I'm a realist.
You are a realist masquerading as a cynic who is secretly an optimist.
Good evening, everyone. It's March 18th. It's another hot, fantastic, fun ladies' night here at the Every Woman Talk Show. And we've been gone for 2 weeks, so I just want to thank our listeners for being patient and you know, hanging in there with us and tuning back in tonight. I am Nate. I'm one of your co-hosts, and I do have Signature Jackie and Uli on the line with me. Hello ladies.
Hello.
Welcome back, everybody.
Yes. Yeah. We've been all been on vacation for like 2 weeks.
That's
so how's everybody doing?
Right?
I know. It feels
like, well,
longer.
You know, I was damn near dead, but I'm feeling much better now.
So, Uli, how are you feeling? I know you were under weather. You were under the weather. So, how are you feeling?
I'm not 100%, but I feel much better. Like much better. I still got a little cough. Feel like a little congestion, but I'm telling you, it took me out. It took me out. It really did.
At least we can hear you now. You have no voice whatsoever.
No voice. No, nothing. Yep.
Wow.
Sound like Barry White.
Wow. Jackie, what about you? What's been going on in your neck of the woods?
Just one son has moved to Texas.
Wow.
So that was a lot for me. And then my other son is on spring break, and he's down in Texas with his brother and his dad. So it was just a lot, but it's all good. And I have pets. Now, it's amazing how when people leave, they say, oh, well, can you take a box or can you do this? Can you take? No, I get stuck with the pets that they couldn't take. So I currently am the owner of two turtles and a snake.
Ooh. So now you touch the snake?
Yeah, I do. I'm actually not afraid. The kids gave him a name. His name is Carl. I'm not afraid of Carl. Carl and I are cool. He's real lazy. He's real laid back. My issue comes when it's time to feed him. I am terrified of his food because he eats mice. Right.
Mm.
So needless to say, on the days when it's time for him to eat, someone else has to come over and feed him.
I hear that. I hear, or you can just let him loose in the neighborhood and let him kill up all the mice.
You're right. I was going to put a leash on him and see how that worked out, but I don't think that's going to work out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you guys, tonight we're talking about women's health, and we have Uli and what she's going through with her health, and Jackie is playing with the snakes and the mice. And now we got Sig. Sig, are you on the line tonight?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing? What's going on with you?
I took on way too many projects. I'm tired of people.
Oh, Lord.
Okay.
Well, you need to let one of those go so you won't be so tired of folks.
That's right.
I have not been answering my phone all day.
Now, we all know Sig is in ATL. What's going on down in ATL, Sig?
Apparently, everybody else is getting snowed, so I'm not going to complain about the cold, rainy weather. I'm good.
I know that's right.
I know, you guys, you know, spring is next week, right?
No, spring is Thursday.
Ooh.
Spring
Thursday
is
technically
Thursday. And Mother Nature did not get the memo for New Jersey and the rest of the East Coast. I'm going to send her another one in hopes that she might listen and pay attention. But I will not complain because, did you see, for those of us here in Jersey, just down in Maryland, 3 hours away, down in D.C., down in Philly, southern New Jersey, they got slammed with snow. Last week, or earlier this week, when we were supposed to get it on Monday. So I will not complain about the cold.
What did you people do to the weather? Y'all get slammed every season. It's like over the top. That needs to be a petition, because not a memo.
Something, because I haven't seen a winter like this in a long, long time. I said, you know, maybe people are paying attention to global warming and things are going back to normal. I know we used to have harsh winters when I was a kid, but, you know, I got a little spoiled. I definitely got a little spoiled with the soft winter.
But, you know, when we were kids, and because I'm from Chicago, the winters would be hard, but they would cut off. They wouldn't linger.
Right, they'd be short, right.
And these winters are lingering and hanging out, and it's almost summer before you get any real break.
Really?
You're absolutely right. It's like fall. It's like spring doesn't come till the end of June.
Right. And by then, I'm past ready for summer.
Right. And then you get full-blown summer, and then fall will come at the end of August.
Summer and spring again. Well, ladies, I got to jump in because we have Dana Sinclair on the line, and he has something that he'd like to introduce for the Every Woman Talk Show. So, Sig, would you like to introduce him?
No, I would like for him to introduce himself. This is my Black History Moment. I found this exhibit that I think is just totally awesome. Dana Sinclair headed it up. It's in St. Augustine, Florida. I just want him to go ahead and tell us about it. I think it's awesome.
Well, thank you very much, and good evening, everyone. I just want to let everyone know, I heard you talking about the weather a little bit. This past weekend in sunny St. Augustine, Florida, the temperatures were about 80 degrees, and crystal clear, and no snow. And I'm sorry you guys have to live through the snow and the rain, but
Dana, just rub it in. Just rub it in.
There's now jealousy happening on this end of the phone, just so you understand.
Yeah, but just remember, we get the hurricanes down here, so, you know.
Yeah, so you can
hide
that one.
Right. All the light winters we have, the Mother Nature retaliates. But, well, thank you very much for inviting me. The exhibition mentioned is called Journey, 450 Years of the African-American Experience. It's the first time this story has been told. It's the whole story of African-Americans in America, in the nation. And the story actually starts in St. Augustine back in 1565 when Pedro Menendez, the Spanish explorer, landed with 800 people. It was the first colony in what is now the continental United States. But not only did he land with the Spanish, but he landed with about 50 to 60 Africans, both free and enslaved. Part of our story, one of the most important parts of the story, is that the first Africans and the first African-Americans in the continental United States and America were free. They weren't slaves. But most important, this was the genesis of the African-American experience when the Africans stepped off of the ship onto the soils of what would become the first permanent colony, settlement, town, and eventually the city, they became African Americans for the first time. And
they did this with
The Spanish. They intermingled with the Native Americans, lived there for a year, and that was the very birth, the genesis of what we know today as the American culture, the multicultural society that characterizes us today. So the African American story doesn't start with the Middle Passage or slavery in the Civil War period or even the Civil Rights movement. The reality is the Civil Rights movement has been going on for 450 years, since 1565. So we have an important part of the story to tell, and along with the genesis of the African-American experience, we also present Fort Moseley, the first free black settlement in the continental United States that was established in 1730. The Emancipation Proclamation was read in St. Augustine before it was released by Congress. And one very important part of that story is that because of the very real and powerful and poignant events that took place in 1963-1964 in St. Augustine, it's generally believed by historians that it was St. Augustine, not Selma of Montgomery of Birmingham. It was actually St. Augustine in 1964 that served as the catalyst for the passage of the Civil Rights Act in July the 2nd of that year. And, in fact, there are several people who were in St. Augustine at the time, Martin Luther King and Andrew Young, who have testified to that. So we have a story to tell that's 4.5 centuries old. It's about a 4,000 square foot exhibition in the visitor center. We are commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act and of 1964, but also celebrating as part of our 450th commemoration the important role that African Americans played in the cultural and historical development of America. It's a very important story to tell.
Yes, it is.
Thank you very much for sharing with us.
Well, talk about enlightening and seeing some things from a different perspective.
Huh. Okay, now, Dana, what are the dates for the exhibit? Because I will be down there before it's over. So what are the dates for the exhibit down there?
Well, the show runs through all the anniversary dates, the June marches and the July the 2nd date, and it closes at the July the 15th in the middle of July. So it's been up since Martin Luther King Day, January the 20th, and through
That's
Black
a long
History
time.
Month, and will span for about 6 months. And if you when you make it down, I would love to give you a personal tour of the exhibition. So please keep my number and call me. We'd love to have you in St. Augustine.
Most definitely, awesome. I will be there. Can't wait. Is there any plans for it to be displayed anywhere else? Any other time other than just this time period that you guys have it for?
Well, we're going to have it the first half of the year, and there are a few plans that are working out there to travel the exhibition. One of them is that the Florida Department of State, the Museum of Florida History, Division of Historical Resources up in Tallahassee, has an interest in bringing in the show. It will probably be there for the second half of the year. There's a group in New Orleans and one in South Carolina that's very interested in having the show as well, too. And needless to say, we want as many people to see it as possible. The attendance has been incredible.
But Dana, how would someone from our state be able to reach? Should we go to our museums and see if they can contact? What do we do to get here?
Is there a website?
There is a website, and in fact, there's a whole section of our website that's dedicated to Journey. The website is www.SaintAugustine-450.com. That's our anniversary, our 450th anniversary. But if you go there, there's a whole, you could link you to a whole section on Journey. And there is a teacher's manual. There is a Journey passport that links visitors to important historic markers, African American historic sites like Fort Mosaic. And there's also all sorts of other resources, images that visitors can see, and there's great information there as well.
That's wonderful.
Thank you very much, and we definitely want everybody to go to that website. Again, that's www.SaintAugustine-450.com. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Awesome. And, you know, Black history never ends here at the Every Woman Talk Show, history in general. So hopefully everyone will go online and figure out how you can plug in and find out more information. And thank you, Mr. Sinclair, for sharing information with us.
Well, thanks for having me, and enjoy the show. I look forward to seeing you sometime soon in St. Augustine.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dan.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I have a road trip.
Ladies, we do.
Educational road trip. I like that idea.
Yes. Not bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's nice. Mm-hmm. The weather's nicer there than it is here.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
But, our topic tonight, we want to get into it. I don't know if we're taking a music break. If we are, someone will let us know, I'm sure. But our topic tonight, women's health, we want to get into it because the hour is definitely short. And women's health, a vast, you know, just when I think of women's health, I always think of several areas. I think of mental, physical, emotional, and financial health. And each area of women's health covers, you know, a myriad of disease, a myriad of ailments, just a myriad of things. So, ladies, I'm going to throw out the question. What does, when I say the word women's health, what does that mean to you? What comes up? What do you think about? Anybody want to start that off?
I always think of physical health first
okay.
and foremost, because there are a plethora of things that tend to, I guess, ail women more than you know, the other gender,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we always think of things like ovarian cancer, breast cancer, heart disease, that we are very, very prone to. And ironically, as much as we often talk about men not taking care of themselves, women are just as liable to not take care of themselves the way they should. A lot of times, well, women don't go to certain types of doctors. They'll go when they're sick, but what about just regular maintenance? Do you go get a physical once or twice a year? Do you go see your OBGYN once or twice a year? Are you getting your mammograms when you're getting to a certain age once or twice a year, especially if certain things run in your family? You know, are you paying attention to those things? And as women, you know, we have the roles of mothers and wives and, you know, general caretakers, not just necessarily of our children, but other extended family members, and we get worn down a lot, and a lot of times when we are not physically taking care of ourselves, we leave ourselves susceptible to many things.
That's funny that you say that, Jackie, because for you, you think it's physical, and for me, because of how it affects me, I think it's mental.
Mm-hmm.
I really do, because for me, if I'm stressed just the slightest little bit, my immune system starts to shut down. I start to get very, because the stress is so overwhelming, I'm not eating. I'm not sleeping, so it starts to take on the physical trait of being sick, but it started off for me mentally,
right.
You know.
Wow,
and
okay.
What we also don't do as Black women, and we don't seek help for that. We think it's going to go away. We think, you know, it's for the now, and we'll figure out a solution. No, not thinking. The solution may be just sitting down and talking to somebody.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. Another thing we do is that, you know, we try to pray it away, and that's great, and it has power, and it's effective, but you also have to go to the doctor. You have to take the basic steps.
Absolutely.
And for me, you know, when I think of women's health also, I think financial. You know, and that's one part. No, it doesn't. It can affect the body. If the money is not right, then you get stressed out, and, you know, you definitely, you know, disease starts
to set in. You don't have the correct insurance. You don't have the proper insurance. That's a financial problem there, too. A lot of us don't have the coverage that we need through our jobs, or the job doesn't have. So that affects us as well.
Exactly. So, Sig, what about you? What is women's health? What do you
think
of women's health?
I think the biggest thing, especially now, and I know that I'm in the middle of this, it's so busy. We take care of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
We make sure everybody else has what they need. Everybody else is getting the rest they need. I have friends that I'm like, I told you to go get these vitamins. Did you go get them? Did you make that doctor's appointment? Are you getting enough sleep? You know what? You haven't eaten today. And I'm doing all that. And in the course of my day, the more projects I take on, I'm a person who's big on forgetting to eat. And people get really amazed by that. I will forget to eat. If I'm busy, food is the last thing on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it gets to the point where you're overwhelmed. You're overwhelmed to the point where the people that I'm upset with now, if I was upset with them last week when I had more rest, I would have said something like, let's step back and let's do this. But I'm at that point where I'm at my end, and I'm like snapping. Well, you know what? This is your only answer, so do that and leave me alone.
Okay. You guys, I think we still have Myrna on the line. Myrna from Philly, are you there? We want to bring her in.
Whose phone is that?
I can't. We have a lot of static on the line. I don't know whose phone that is. But Myrna, are you?
Well, once it's not mine.
Yes, I'm here, ladies. Hello. How's everybody?
Hi, Myrna.
Good. How are you, Myrna?
The
Myrna,
applause
thank
is
you
so
for
funny.
Holding.
Oh, you're welcome. I just love the applause. It makes me feel so special.
We got to give you a little bit of more applause before you go out.
Myrna, you are special. You are very
I need to take my meds. But, you know, you talk about women's health, and it's one of those things that so many things you touched on are true, where the stress can affect the body. The finances make you stressed, which then continues to affect the body.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a sufferer of heart disease, high blood pressure, and to top it off, I am, and I don't often share this, but I'm a person who suffers from chronic depression.
Mm-hmm.
So the day-to-day and how you feel really depends on, for me, a lot of where the mental state is, and to be remain cognizant of what's going on, to not let it get to me, to find an outlet. It's funny, I heard someone mention about prayer. Yes, I went through a phase of I was going to pray it away and still got up with the same headache because you have to take into account that prayer is a wonderful thing, but you have to still do your part too. You can't pray to, you know, if God told you to go get a bottle of aspirin because you have a headache, you can't sit there and keep praying waiting for the aspirin to come across the room to you. You have to use some common sense.
Because he told you to go get it.
You have to do your part. And it is very critical because we as women do take care of everyone else, and we don't stop to take care of ourselves. And I think that's because we're conditioned to feel that taking care of yourself is selfish. To take that moment is very selfish.
Tell them a little bit about what we were talking about earlier today. We didn't have the full understanding of it, but Myrna had hit me on some mammogram information today. We were trying to research it some more, but we got disconnected. So tell us a little bit about what you know about that.
Yes. Now, they had a on the news, I get all the little flashes on the news, they have a thing now where, you know, we're supposed to go get a pap smear. Apparently, what's coming out now is a new test where you go and get this test, and it tests you to see if you have sort of anomalies that you may be susceptible to this or you may be susceptible to that. So what that does is if you don't have any of these anomalies, you then are, say, excused from having to get that pap smear every year and from having to go and get that. this is something new that's coming out. I don't know how comfortable I would feel with that. I think I would have a little bit of an issue with that.
I have some reservations for that.
I guess I would say, if it's not every year, how often? Every two, every three, every what? Because this is what I'm not coming at all. You know me, I don't go for mammogram. I go for pap smears, but, you know, I don't go for mammogram. I haven't. I'm almost 50. Haven't had one yet. Smack me in my face. Every time I go to the doctor, he smacks me in my face. I just can't do it.
I don't think I would be comfortable with doing that, with not going, because as women, different things can happen that'll cause changes in your body within 30 days. So if you go and get your test and they say you're not susceptible to this or you're not susceptible to that, you don't have to get a pap smear. But you can get – I'm seeing too many younger women with fibroids, and they just develop suddenly. And most of it is from stress, and they're not taking care of themselves. But if they go today and they pass the anomaly test, and then they're stressed and they have fibroids and they don't know it.
Well, they
and they're
know.
Like,
oh,
excuse. They don't know at first. They don't know until it becomes painful.
Yeah.
At first, they don't know. And they could
could
miss something. It's early detection is best. And so I'm not thrilled with them, something that it's pounded in our head to do and do and do and do, and for them to say, oh, we can excuse you from that. I'm not happy with that. And I say that because
they're using it for guinea pigs. Let's see if it works.
No, and so they need to see if it works on self and then go with that. Do 50 years of self with that. Let me know how that works out for you. Then we'll get back to the study.
Well,
I can't condone that.
And let me say, without a lot of research to really give some really, really great information on it, and what I will commit to doing is looking it up further, but I think they're taking the approach of sort of like they do now with cancer, with the gene typing, or trying to see there's a specific
precursor.
I want to use the word gene, but I don't think it's necessarily a gene, but it's some sort of something specific that gives you a
some
specific
kind of strand or something.
Sort of
mm-hmm.
strand or matching to it. So in other words, I guess if you are fibroid susceptible, there'll be something that they can see that would map that to say, well, yes, this is a person that needs to come in and get this.
All
it's
right.
almost like saying if you have the cancer gene, where now my mother had cancer, my grandmother had cancer, my sister had cancer. They all had breast cancer. So that meant immediately when I turned 35, I had to go get a mammogram. Apparently the way they're looking at it is they can test me to see if I have this cancer gene, apparently, or if I'm carrying a strain that would say, oh, well, you're going to be susceptible, so you would have to go get this testing. I don't know how effective that is and how comfortable I feel with that either, because I have to say, as you get older and we change, your hormones change. What does that do
exactly.
to everything else?
But
then
what
about
food that we eat and the lotions and things that we use with all the chemicals in it? So you may or may not have genes that are susceptible
and
to
that's exactly
diseases,
what I was going
to
say.
It's the air we breathe and the food, our food is grown in soil that's polluted and all the chemicals and things that are, you know, the things that we use have in them.
Because what about the
question.
Individuals who don't
see,
have any of that?
I would say, okay, you can go and get the anomaly test, and I would say that we need to challenge ourselves to say we need to do more research on that because, you know, my doctor's about to get an earful on this tomorrow. I've never heard of it before now. So I'm going to say
you use your own discretion.
Yeah, it's going to be own discretion and own judgment because cancer runs in my family. I've been having to have a mammogram since I was 25.
Right.
So there's no way that they're going to tell me I'm going to stop doing that. That's what I do.
Right.
It's like, okay, I've got to have this mammogram. I've got to have this pap smear. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. So I'm not going to stop because they have a new test out. I'm sorry. I just can't do it.
My
mental is not going to let me do that.
Let me ask you a lady question. Did any of you see with something on Facebook, you know you're on everything on damn Facebook, something on Facebook about the gentleman who took the pregnancy test?
No, I
didn't
see
that.
All right. So, sounds funny, right? Not funny at all. Guy takes a pregnancy test just for the hell of it, you know, making fun of his friends or whatever, and he comes up positive. So the friends make a joke out of it, ha, 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 put it on Facebook, write a whole cartoon about it, the sperm with a baby, the blah, whole nine yards. And then one of the other friends who read it contacted him and said, this is not a laughing matter. If something comes up positive, not a joke, something's wrong. What happened was we have a gene, and when we're pregnant, we have some type of something in us that shows that we're pregnant.
It's called HPV.
Shows that they have cancer.
The HPV hormones are high. They're higher when you're pregnant.
Guy has cancer, never knew, found out by making a joke about taking a pregnancy test. This is how crazy it is.
That's wow. I don't have any words.
Myrna, you shared, a few of your health concerns, and thank you for, being so open about
welcome.
That. But, I want to ask you, what do you do to manage them? Like you mentioned, you suffer from depression at times. What do you do to manage some of the health concerns? Because we know about a lot of the issues that are out there, but we definitely want to talk about some solutions and some ways to manage.
Depression is one of those things, and they'll tell you to medicate. I tried medication. I was on the medication, and I can tell you why you're not depressed when you're on the medication, because you don't feel anything. So you're not depressed. You're not happy. You're not anything. You're just sitting over in the corner. Yeah, exactly. You're just there. It depends on the person. Like, I'm not afraid to go ahead and cope and deal with it. And there are some days when, honestly, I just have to let it take its course. Like, I have to live in that moment. Like, I deal with the moment. If I'm sad, if it's bothering me, I deal in the moment, and then I move past the moment. It's about moving past the moment. You just can't sort of sit there with it.
Lucky that you can move past the moment, because there's some people that their depression is so heavy on them, there's no moving past the moment because they don't know how to move past the moment.
And I think it's got a lot to do with your personal experience and coping, because you always carry it. There's no way that you don't carry it. I was in a very abusive relationship for 3 years, and it was at the point where some things happen for a reason, and people don't understand, like, why would somebody just end it, or why would somebody do that, and they don't get angry. You do get angry, and you do feel bad, and it's almost like you want that cry for attention to someone to help you and to help you to get out. Did I want to just end it all? Yeah, I wanted to end it all and to even make it better to take the kids with me. Like, no, I'm not leaving them to be in this, and I don't know how to get out of this. But luckily, there's something in me or something around the people that I learned to surround myself with that says that's really not the answer. You can be mad, you can be upset, but you have to be able to be there the next day to continue to move forward. And that's what I happen to use. For me, medication doesn't work. And I heard somebody say sometimes you do have to talk about it. And I have to say I have a very good, tight circle of friends that I can call up and just kind of rant. It's almost like you just rant. You sound crazy, but you have to rant to get it off your chest. Yeah, like you got to just rant. You get it out.
Right.
You get it off your chest. And it's not about judgment.
Not about judgment. That's one of our shows that we're going to be talking about soon. We, as women, some of us say we have the best of friends. But one of those best of friends are always the one that's going to point. You have to figure out who you can release your information to.
Exactly.
Well, what do you ladies feel about, since we're on that part of it, about therapy? I am an advocate for therapy. I advocate therapy wholeheartedly. I mean, plus the fact that I got a degree in psychology, but even before that, because I know a lot of times, especially in our culture, therapy is frowned upon. It's like, so you're going to therapy, you have to be crazy. You're automatically labeled as crazy. You're this, you're that. And therapy is so much, more than dealing with quote-unquote crazy people. And, there's always, what is the definition of crazy? And, Myrna, you touched on the fact of, some days you just have to be able to cope. And what people don't understand is a lot of times therapy is about learning coping mechanisms on how to deal with certain situations when you're faced with them, but people still tend to frown upon therapy.
You know what, Jackie, I agree with you. I do not frown upon therapy, and I learned from my therapist that crazy is not a diagnosis. It's just something
to
call people. Crazy is not a diagnosis. It's just what we say. So I accept my crazy, and I own it. I don't have a problem with it. I have not one but two therapists, because I have to keep one in every region wherever I'm at in the country. They are really good, non-biased, non-judgmental sounding
Absolutely.
Boards.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I have one therapist that is on call, and I will tell him, I'm paying cash for your sessions today. I own you for 2 hours. I'll take him to dinner. I just need for him to listen for my moment. I need to call him today, as a matter of fact. I need for him to listen for my moment of being off keel to get me centered again. And anybody that thinks having a therapist is a bad thing needs a therapist. And that's what I tell people. There's nothing wrong with therapy. It is very good, especially if you live a busy lifestyle or you're not too comfortable with confiding every little retarded crazy thing that you do, that you talk yourself into thinking that it makes you crazy, to somebody who may come back to haunt you or whatever, or you feel like you're going to be judged. This therapist is sworn to secrecy. And once you get to know them and they get to know you, it's a very good crutch to lean on for those moments when you need them. And having a therapist keeps me from having high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and any other ailments.
It can
strengthen me a moment to release.
I think all of us have a little crazy in all of us, however you want to say it.
Absolutely.
I think all of us have a little, you know.
Everybody has a flaw. Everybody has an issue. Everybody has a something in which they have to deal with on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so unfortunate, you know, that especially in minority cultures, that going to get help for your mental state of being is frowned upon. It's looked at, oh, as you're weak, or we don't discuss our problems, or we don't do this. But what do we do every single day when we sit around with our girlfriends, or we sit around with our sisters, or we sit around with whomever? We're discussing our issues. And like you guys were saying just a second ago, a lot of times when we're in that kind of environment, there's judgment going on, you know, whether it's said or whether it's not, you know, and you do have to be careful. And like you said, Sig, when I am sitting in my therapist's office, this person is bound by the law and the oath that they have to take of, you know, you're not going to discuss my stuff, or you're trained to help me to get from point A to point B. You're trained to help me cope with something that I can't see past. And a lot of times I think that's why we get stuck, because we don't have someone to go to say, well, you know what, I can't wrap my head around this, and I can't get past this, and I can't move past this. What do I do? And there's nothing wrong with that. And when we take away the stigma of therapy being a bad thing and more people taking advantage of it, especially in the world that we live in today, there is so much that goes on that, you know, and especially as women, we are, like I said, all the titles that we have, all the things we have to do, all the things that we have to deal with, those moments come when depression sink in and you have thoughts maybe that are not the most healthy for yourself or those around you. It's okay to go to somebody and say, hey, you know what, I think I need some help.
You got to have an outlet.
Well,
everybody needs an outlet. Everybody.
I think the thing with therapy is that, and I went to therapy as well, what it does is it takes you out of a situation where someone has a biased opinion, be it your friend, be it your family, because when you have that biased opinion, be it that you know that they think you're great, or you know that they have an image of you that, say, has set you on a pedestal, and the thing that you need to talk about is something that's going to knock you off of that pedestal. Then you're struggling with, I don't want them to see that I'm not as great as they've made me out to be, and how are they going to view this again?
Sometimes
when you're talking to family, there's that whole sense of, I don't want to be disloyal to my family because I don't like thus and so. The therapist has no relationship with you other than you basically, as what was that, Sid that said that, I'm paying you for them 2 hours. You give me my 2 hours, you sit there and listen. That's his main connection. So he's not biased in that way. And the other thing is, when you have someone who's really not biased, you tend to be able to listen and take the feedback. Because there's no question as to where it's really coming from. Did she really say that I was okay with my hair being curled to the left, and because she don't want her hair, you know, we don't have to deal with any of that.
You don't feel like they're coming for you, exactly.
Right, or they're coming for you, or there's an ulterior motive in that. So
yes.
You hear.
Right.
Did anyone give you a lot of, you know, flack, anybody in your family give you a hard time, any judgment about going to see a therapist? Because some people just think it's the devil going to see a therapist.
No, no,
the family has been to therapy.
Okay.
We have all been to therapy.
Yeah, my family recommended me go to recommended I go to therapy. They wanted me to go to therapy because I don't talk to them. So they feel like I need to talk to somebody. That's how I ended up in therapy.
My family wanted me to go to therapy because I was talking to them and I wasn't hearing anything they were saying. And, you know, like, it, and it's really, I come from a family that a lot of them have had to go to therapy. My brother had to go for post-traumatic stress disorder from being in Vietnam. So coming with that, you know, we needed to go to therapy. I was a prime candidate for therapy because, again, I'm a, from a lot of my background and my past, I needed to go to therapy in dealing with situations within my family. I am a product of a family that, while I have a wonderful family, I had an incident of molestation. So that in itself was something that you need to go to therapy to talk to somebody to get that worked out.
Right.
So I think that's something that we as black people
never wanted to. It was always a hush-hush thing with that, and I think it's becoming more
prevalent,
involved now, now than ever, because there's no way that anybody can tell me at our age, almost 50, 45, 35, whatever old you are, someone in your in that family of yours has not experienced that, because it's a lot.
Wow.
The thing about therapy is that People need to understand that it's not a bad thing. It's not a taboo thing. It's a way to heal self. And
absolutely,
if you have those moments where, do I have my moments where I vent when I'm by myself? Yes. Do I have those? Let me just have a good cry, take a nice long bath, and go to sleep. It's gonna be fine in the morning. Yes.
That's okay.
Do I have? Yeah. Do I love the fact that my man, I can come to him with something. All of my best
crazy moments.
Here we go.
Get
my
man.
Because my man is awesome. No, but I can go. I can tell him something, and he steps back and he looks at that objectively and be like, "Sig, you know, you're dead wrong. You might want to go back and fix that." And so when he's not available or when I'm overwhelmed, like this week, do I get on my phone and say, I need 2 hours? Most definitely, because I know that no man is an island and I can't be me by myself. I really can't.
Right.
And, you know, we look at, you know, like you said, like therapy, a lot of people look at it as taboo. And, you know, you don't have to be someone who is, quote, unquote, chronically depressed and be clinically diagnosed as a person who suffers from depression in order to go to therapy. You know, in fact, I started with my children. My son needed grief counseling after the death of his grandmother. He could not just move past it. And it was nothing more that as a mother I could do for him. And that's a horrible feeling as a mom. And I said, you know what? I'm going to let you start talking to somebody. I'm going to let you talk to somebody for an hour, two times a week. Whatever you say in that room is between you and that individual, and to help you get past all of that, you know, and to go back and touch on what Myrna and Uli were saying about how we're in stressful situations and it affects us physically. When I was in a relationship that ended abruptly, it was hard for me to get past it. You know, I talked to my friends. You know, Uli probably was like, I hope you don't ever call me again.
But
you know, I said, you know what, I can't cope because I had given my all, so I didn't understand where this went awry. So it was affecting me in every way possible. I hadn't been a size 12 since I was 12. I was down to a size 12. I wasn't eating. I wasn't sleeping. I was up for days at a time, you know. And
very,
I was like, I need, yeah, and yeah. I had some thoughts like getting on 95 and driving someplace. And my friends were afraid.
It's the bubbly one. So when we saw this immediate change, we were like, oh shit, okay. So what are we gonna do?
I went to go see my therapist, and the one thing he told me is you need to mourn. Whenever there's a loss of anything, when we think of mourning, we only think of a loss of a living being.
Right.
And he said to me, you need to mourn this situation. And,
yes,
you know, sitting with him and talking with him, you know, and going through the grieving of that situation physically I started getting better. So now my fat butt is no longer 12, but I do start taking
That's okay. That's okay. You're good.
I'm a happy 16.
She's not telling y'all the truth. She's bedazzling ice picks. No.
It was bad, and I won't hide that. The thing is, people fail to realize
is that just because, like Jackie, you said you couldn't cope, that was your breaking point. And this is where friends come to play at because whereas if you have a group of friends and you're saying you can't cope and you're feeling suicidal or whatever, and you got that one person that just don't get suicidal and they can't wrap their brain around it, and so they're sitting there judging you. And the thing about it is people need to understand everybody's not in the same place. Everybody doesn't have the same level of tolerances for the
same
thing.
And I was blessed. I mean, I wasn't suicidal. I was more like homicidal. But, you know, the thing is, for me, I knew that I needed to, because it was affecting me in every way. It was affecting my financial health. It was affecting my mental health. It was affecting my physical health. And I knew that to go get some help.
I could truly say that I think in this situation with Jackie, none of us judged, because I think all of us had been there before. So not to that extreme, or maybe getting to that extreme, you know, but I think we've all been there before. So I think at this, in that juncture in her life when that happened, we all sat back and was like, I understand, you know, we did it, you know, but we can't let you do that, you know.
And I'm so grateful for knowing that it was okay to mourn that situation, mourn it, grieve it, and then move on from it. And that's the part that's the hardest part, is getting those coping mechanisms to know to go forward. You can't stay stuck where you are.
Exactly.
And that's the key, is not being stuck there. And,
it's hard,
you know,
not to be stagnant. It's very hard not to want to just stay where you're at, because for you, you think it's going to change, or for you, you think it's the easy way, because dealing with it, it's hard. Coping with it is extremely hard. Yeah.
And Jackie, I'm glad you shared that, because I, you know, just came out of a similar situation, and it has been one of the most challenging and difficult situations of my life, I would say. And as a matter of fact, when we started this show, this was one of the things that kind of got me up off the carpet. And some people will say, well, girl, don't let nobody take you down to the carpet, but it's real life.
That's really easy for somebody to say until you've been there.
And you know, I have a friend that just let me cry. She let me be angry. She just listened. And
sometimes I say,
girl, how did you not break down from listening to all that? But I appreciate her so much for that. So, you know, you got to talk. Women, we are so strong sometimes, and we want to handle everything and do everything, but you have to talk. You have to communicate. You got to let it out. But you guys, for the sake of time, I want to switch over to financial and spiritual, you know, health and well-being. You know, finances, debt, credit cards, craziness, investment, IRAs.
That can send you right back to therapy. All of that right there can send you right back to therapy, because when you are financially, and I just went through that last year, I mean, it sounds like I'm a mess, but last year I went through an episode where I was out of work and they weren't paying me for the medical time off, and it just became a mess. And financially, I was depressed is an understatement. I suffer from hypertension, so my blood pressure was through the roof. My doctor kept trying so many different things to bring my blood pressure down, but my blood pressure was through the roof because I'm stressing about money. I'm stressing about, you know, I got a kid who's a senior in high school. You know, I have so many things going on, and I couldn't grip it. She was like, girl, you're depressed. I need to give you something. And I was like, okay, I'll take it. And then I was like, no, I'm not. I'm not going to take it. I'm going to have to learn how to deal with my situation. And when you are financially bound, so to speak, and you don't know how you're going to get from A to B, from B to C, and so forth, it affects
everything, fiber
of your being. It affects your physical. It affects your emotional. It affects your spiritual, because it's like, okay, God, really, you left me to be poor and destitute? What happened? So it affects you in every way. Because you're still
stuck. When we challenge our faith. That's when we challenge our faith, because
absolutely,
we don't understand. I believe in you. You know I believe in you. I tell you every day. I show you every day.
How can you do this to me? How can you allow this to happen? And I think that for me, I went from a job that I was at for almost 12, 13 years making ridiculous money, I mean just ridiculous money, to a job now that pays the bills, but it's like a cut in half. And I've been so stressed this past 3 years where I can't even maintain my weight. It's up to down, it's up to down, it's up to down. My face is breaking out, my hair is falling out. It's just ridiculous. And I know it's all stress-related, and I also know that there's nothing I can do about it, so why am I stressing over it? How do you learn how to not stress when you get it out of your control?
How do you manage the stress?
When you
truly
realize
it's
not in your control.
When you find out that it's not
in
your control.
There it is. Who just said that? Who just said that? That's
when
it.
That was me. When you realize it is not within your control, you got to let it go. You got to get to that point where you say.
But I think I already know that.
But And you gotta live it. You gotta start to live that. You gotta say, I can't do nothing about this, God. This was yours, and you walk away.
I have to throw my hands up.
I think the difficulty that we have is that we're so pinned on. We have to be fiscally responsible. So
say it again, Myrna.
Can't do nothing. It's like for us to say, well, I can't really do anything about me going from making $35 an hour to $12 an hour. So we just gonna have to ride on faith because our minds tell us, oh no, we have to make sure these bills are paid. We gotta make sure this is this.
Right.
We gotta make sure this is this because we're
every time we experience a financial setback, and I say this because when the economy tanked, I had some investments that I thought I was gonna have to kill somebody about. Wall Street was about to be empty, but then I thought about it. Okay, I can't handle this. And I know better. And so I know that what this is this money, is this material right now.
Uh-huh.
And so what it does is you need to take a look at self and you take a look at life. And you don't make temporary cutbacks just to get through this period of time. You make lifestyle changes so that you're not in that exact situation.
Exactly.
I think it's a situation and it's a chance for us to grow and to learn more about self. And then
and
that's,
it's about
that's
priorities.
When,
it's also about
that's
priority.
About, like, yeah.
The point.
That's when you can say, oh, okay, God, you know what? I just like, what? Okay, good. Next. I'm moving on. That's
exactly.
And it's a process. It's not something simple. I'm really big on X amount of dollars being in the bank. So when X amount of dollars are not in the bank, forget therapy. I own an arsenal. What happened? So the first time anything happened, it threw me off. And now I realize it. You know what? I don't have to live here. I don't have to buy this. I don't have to eat a $10 pastry every day. It's time for some lifestyle changes.
Uh-huh,
if you look at the richest people,
well, you're gonna make those lifestyle changes whether you like it or not because
I think it's about being accepting of those lifestyle changes that you have to make.
Yeah, you're
because
not
that was my
that
issue. That was my issue last year was being accepting of, you know what, I can't do this right now. It's just not within my means. It's not something that I have to live with. And sometimes when you are humbled and you are knocked down, you have to learn. And when you learn, that's when you stand up. And going forward, you can make different choices. So hopefully you're not in that situation again. And God forbid, I hope I never am. But let me tell you something. If something catastrophic should happen and I'm back in that situation, I will handle it very differently than I did last year because I have learned that there are certain choices that you have to make in order for you to keep your sanity, you know, and in order for you to, like, just be able to move forward and go on. You know, my son, who was at that time only 17 years old, was my rock. And I said, you know, spiritually, you know, you talk about having your faith tested. I say to him all the time, he allowed God to use him because he would come to me and say, Mommy, you know what? It's going to be okay. We're going to be all right. And he never said, well, I could go live with my dad or I could go live with my grandmother. I don't have to deal with this right now. He was my rock, and it was because I listened. I finally got to a point where I threw my hands up and said, okay, it's going to be what it's going to be. And finally listened.
Well, I guess.
I think, ladies, we are out of time. We've got to wrap it up. So
as
everybody, give a brief closing thought. We are down to the wire. If everybody wants to give a brief closing thought on your perspective of women's health, what you've learned, Uli, do you want to start with that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I just would like to say to our sisters out there, or women in general, I'm very hard-headed when it comes to health. I would really hope, listening to us and listening to everything you've heard and knowing that you take a little bit back care of yourself, because I know I have to. I definitely know I have to.
Mm-hmm. Sig, what about you?
I just want everybody to understand that therapy is okay. It's okay to lean on somebody else when you have to. It keeps your blood pressure down. Don't take anything that serious where it's going to affect your health. Most importantly, take care of you first. Give yourself 30 minutes of you time every day. Lock out the world, kids, husband, that perfect man I got. You lock out everybody, and you spend 30 minutes to yourself. I don't mean with God, that he gets his own time. Just to you. Do you for 30 minutes a day. Makes the best, it's the best relaxation moment ever.
Wow. All right, Jackie.
Nobody's going to love you more than you can love you. And if you're not taking care of you, then you're just doing a detriment not just to yourself, but all the other people that you say you love, all the people that you want to be here to take care of. You can't be a help to someone else unless you're helping yourself first.
Uh-huh. Amen to that. And, you know, this is a topic we could go on. We almost need to have another show about women's health.
Yes.
We always need to have another show.
Yes, we need to have another show about this. But, for, you know, my closing thoughts on women's health is that don't wait until it's too late. You've got to make small changes, small, effective changes. You can start by eating better, drinking some water, taking a multivitamin. If you're hurting, talk to someone. If there's nothing wrong with talking to somebody, see a doctor, get your checkups. And you know what? Don't just take the doctor's word as the final say. Do your own research. Go a little further. Dig a little deeper. And love yourself, to care about yourself, to see about yourself, to take care of yourself. And Myrna, we want to thank you so much for calling.
Thank
in.
Thank you, Myrna.
Oh,
you're very welcome.
Thank you for sharing with us. You know, not enough people are vulnerable enough to share what you share. You know, and we would all probably be a little bit better if we shared more. So on that note, I want to just thank our listeners for coming back to us after a two-week vacation. We didn't go anywhere, just a little hiatus, but we are back. And I want to remind everyone that the Game Strong Sports Talk Show with Trey Davis airs Mondays at 8 p.m. The Man Up Talk Show with those fine fellas over there is every Friday night at 8 p.m. And, of course, you have the Women of Every Talk Show. We are here every Tuesday night, Uli, Jackie, Sig, and myself, every 7 p.m. And we also want to remind you one last thing. June 14th is the Relay for Life in Newark, New Jersey. So please join us. We will be there. And on that note, I guess we're going to say good night, right, everybody?
Good night, ladies.
Good night, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Besides, relationships are for people that are just waiting for something better to come along.
Spoken like a cynic.
I'm not a cynic. I'm a realist.
Who are a realist masquerading as a cynic who is secretly an optimist.
Coated and dipped in honey with strawberries all lined around it. And I don't know. I just
free is how you deliver it. It really is how you deliver it. If you approach me wrong, I'm not going to receive it. Even when our parents used to yell at us, we shut down. We didn't always receive it because of the way it was delivered. How do you think a woman should put that to a man? How do you think that a woman should say to a man, this doesn't work for me? Or, you know, I'm not getting what I need from you. And I'm just so excited because tonight is the premiere of the Every Woman Talk Show. I am Natae, one of your co-hosts, and I am joined by a fantastic panel of women this evening, Uli, Signature, and Jackie. We're all sisters with different opinions. So for the next hour, we're going to talk about...
Shadow, World, radio.